our subject is grace, and the hymn, O Lord, Thy Grace Impart. Now, the origin of this hymn is really uncertain. Some say it was of German origin, some say it's of French. But the earliest appearance was in 1820, just a tiny bit of background. And it came following a sermon and a write-up about this sermon on Isaiah 53, verses 11 and 12. So Isaiah 53, 11 and 12, which of course includes the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, who after suffering again, by his knowledge shall my righteous Son justify many, pouring out his life even unto death. So we have, just at the beginning, a basis for a doctrine, a belief in justification by the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. So it's part of that sermon. And again, this grace of God, of course, really is referred to as His divine favor, the grace of God in Christ Jesus, and then through, as we said, His blood. If we look at the words of our hymn, and some of the words of our hymn that we have just sung in the blue book, and I'm sure it's the same in the red, are a little bit different than some of the words that were in the original hymn. Like heavenly grace is now promised grace. Frail, inconstant heart is fill my consecrated heart. Chief desire is concern now. And to dedicate myself is to live and speak and toil for thee. And we'll go on as we have time to sort of develop some of those thoughts. So if we look at the verse again, O Lord, thy promised grace impart and fill my consecrated heart, we realize these words were spoken from the beginning of our hymn to those who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those who vowed that consecration vow to be of the church, to be a people for his name, who have entered into that wonderful relationship with the Heavenly Father. And if we look again, it's through His grace, by the grace of God, that these things are possible. So that grace is imparted to us. It's given to us. It's offered by the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us what? That denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world, this present evil world in which we're living. Continuing in verses 13 and 14, he holds up before us the grand consideration towards which all of our ambitions and are to turn, and upon which our hopes center, and they fill our hearts. We're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and then do what? He purifies unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now that's the key to our comment, zealous, a peculiar people, called out of darkness. It's by the grace of God, his goodwill toward us, his unmerited love and favor, that we could have any hope of life, let alone be with our Lord in the realms of glory. The divine influence is upon us, again, to help us make pure our intents of our heart, to try to have our words of our mouth speak praise and thanksgiving. The shed blood, the pure blood of our Redeemer, should inspire us to then go on and be morally strong, because you were brought back from sin and death as potential new creatures in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I think the main part of this doctrine, though, that we're looking at, I believe it's through the seraph feature of the grace covenant. It's brought out in the 4th chapter of Galatians, and recounting the events in which Abraham, representing God, of course, the two sons, in verse 22, the one being of the bondwoman, we know from our studies, that's Hagar, a type of the law covenant, and the other, Isaac, born of a free woman, Sarah, type of the Abrahamic covenant, that real covenant, to bring blessings to all the families of the earth, of the free woman by promise, it says, in verses 23 to 27, God's special providence was needed to provide a miracle. And of course, we know that was the birth of Isaac, when Sarah was old, past childbearing age. And so the primary or chief covenant of God was barren for nearly 2,000 years, so that with that promised birth of Isaac, it made it possible as a picture for the children of promise to be born. Those that have been chosen as the bride of Christ, again, the Christ, head and body, could be counted as the seed. Romans 8, 9 through 11. If we go on in Romans 8, verse 17, the Spirit himself testified that we are the child of God, the children of God, God's children. We are heirs and then co-heirs or joint heirs together with our Heavenly Father and with Christ Jesus. That's the NIV. If we look further, Galatians 4:28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise and heirs according to that promise. Then God is the father of that spiritual Isaac, as we read in verse 29. It tells us that Jesus, again, that above is free. Jerusalem, excuse me, the above is free and the mother of us all. This is that grace of God. So in these pictures, you have the heavenly promise and the earthly promise. By grace, then, you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It's that divine favor that's brought on Ephesians 2:8. So if we have faith in this statement or doctrine, is have confidence that it's true. So when you sing these words, thy grace impart, fill my consecrated heart. If your heart is full, you have to believe it's true. And by God's grace and not a personal merit on our part, that salvation is offered to us. That knowledge comes from God. It brings us to a place where we're able to exercise our faith, put it into practice. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10 tells us to continue with this, not of works, but that justification is God's free gift based upon, as we all know, that ransom price. And we know that it must be followed by works. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And there's more to it. Let your light so shine amongst men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Obedience is better than sacrifice and of the fat of rams. So truly, brethren, we are his workmanship. It leads to that sanctification, the full setting apart by the grace of God for you to do the Father's service through his truth and to fill our consecrated heart. The heart is the center, as we know, of our emotions. We've heard it expressed in this confession and others. So we must be of a contrite heart. We all know that's a sincere sorrow for sin. A heart that loves the Father, His Son, loves the brethren, and we are faithful in all these things will be part of that new creation, begotten or created by God. He did good, it tells us in Acts 14:17, filling our hearts with food, spiritual food and gladness. This is His, really the evidence of His constant care over us. Through the giving of His Holy Spirit, by His grace, we come to will and to know and to do His good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. Ephesians 1:5 tells us we are foreordained to walk in newness of life, to walk in the Lord's way of holiness and in opposition to sin. So developing then a childlike or Christ-like character. Ephesians 3:16 and 17. Ephesians 3:16 and 17. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Again, the inner man, the new man, the one who has, it sees the faults and weaknesses of the old man and strives through God's grace to put that down. We realize that salvation is of grace. It required that ransom price. And again, that by the grace of God, He could taste death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. If we look at our Lord's early years on earth, we're told in Luke 2:40, the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom and the grace of God. And this grace of God makes possible a transformation from that human nature to the divine, if faithful unto death. The Apostle Paul refers to it in Hebrews 2:3, so great a salvation. This is an invitation. Again, impart thy grace to me. Fill my consecrated heart. Teach me, lead me, guide me. God's love makes it possible to forgive our past sins and also cleanse us from our secret faults, our past condemnation, cover our unintentional blemishes, encourage us to do the best that we can each day to all the blessings that it richly provides for us. While joyfully in thine employ. So I've taken that doctrine of the Sarah feature, right? That grace covenant. And I'm trying to develop through this hymn and the words of it how you get to that point where you enter into the joys of your Lord. So joyfully in thine employ. The scripture that came to my mind was 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives. And so we want to represent our Lord, our Heavenly Father, to the at best we can, and do it joyfully, not grudgingly, right? 2 Timothy 2:15, a workman. We're working. We're soldiers. We're working. We're employed in that service. And we owe all our dedication and time and energy and effort and all that we have to give to be engaged in His service. And also we're commissioned to tell of His plan. These co-workers together to do all in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3:17. Realizing, as it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Realizing there's none righteous, no, not one, we need that, again, the covering of the robe of Christ's righteousness, that my imperfect work shall be acceptable through Christ to thee. Again, these words are so beautiful because they point out our relationship to the Father through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. John 1, 16 and 17 tells us, and of His fullness have all received grace for grace. And really, that is favor upon favor, the dialogue says. The law given to Moses, but by grace the truth came by Jesus Christ. This is not only given to us one time, but again, His favor, His love, it grows in us. We grow in grace. We grow in knowledge. We grow in the fruits of the Spirit. To the end of our course, this high calling is offered above salvation to the world of mankind. It's a gracious favor of God. I couldn't help think of another hymn. Hymn 249, repeat the story o'er and o'er, right? Of grace so full and free. I love to hear it more and more. Since grace has rescued me, the half was never told. Of grace divine so wonderful, again, the half was never told. So as our hymn goes on, after consideration of grace, the next three verses mention things that are very important. Joy, peace, and love. These are also the wonderful gifts from the Heavenly Father. When first we didn't know what they would come to mean to us, we should know them now. As we have matured, as we have been striving to have our imperfect work acceptable. And again, by their fruits you shall know them. So grace, the wonders of His love, these are things that have given us a great appreciation. My sweetest thought henceforth shall be that all I want I find in thee. Now, brethren, do you recall with that exuberance that was displayed when the disciples had in their lives upon hearing the word spoken by John when he said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And they followed Jesus. And he turned to him when he turned to his disciples when he perceived that they were falling. And what did he say? What seekest thou? Later on, with their joy growing, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, we have found the Christ, the Messiah. John 1:35-41. And Philip found Nathanael. And he would tell him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. So through God's grace, we were able to find Jesus. The Heavenly Father called us, but we had to make an effort to follow the Lord. We came to Him, and we found, as we say from Matthew 13:46, that pearl of great price. In His grace, we will find the beauties of His character, contentment, and dwell in His love. Again, the words from our hymn, and safe beneath thy sheltering wing. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Again, that's Psalm 91:4. Our safety or care from the Father is also once again shown in the 23rd Psalm, one of my favorite ones. The deep waters, still waters, but full waters, fresh waters. There's no fear. We trust in God. Thy watchful eye pervadeth space. Thy presence, Lord, fills every place. The verse that I thought of, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you. So in our lives, God provides us with comfort. We have trials and experiences, but He will not allow us to be tempted above that which we can bear and endure. When the lesson has been learned in our life, it'll be tempered. We'll be able to move on, but we have to apply those things that we have studied and to learn and do His will. He provides needed grace. And wheresoe'er my lot may be, still shall my spirit cleave to Thee. We trust that we will have a reward if faithful. But our consecration vow, again, shows that we should strive and run and grasp the higher heavenly prize and be content with whatever reward the Heavenly Father has in store for us if we prove faithful. Because our goal certainly is the crown of life, but in this time in which we're living, today, this moment, this hour, we are seeking for guidance with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:6. But we know, again, that experience is our best teacher. We have to mature spiritually. And I think through this hymn, having the watchful eye of the Heavenly Father, His presence is everywhere. He's in this room with us. His presence is here. We pray for God to be with us and to help us. So, brethren, let us go on in our lives and exercise patient endurance, lessons of experience that make us stronger. Some of our experiences are, so to speak, tailor-made for us. You know, you've heard discourse that is just what I needed to hear at that time. That comment is just what I needed. That experience is just what I needed. So truly, brethren, He has led me day by day, and looking back, I'll praise that way. Truly, He has imparted His grace to us. He will continue to do so day by day if we strive to trust in Him in all things, that your joy may be full. John 16:14. That you, brethren, as children of promise, may be heirs and joint heirs together with our Lord. Truly, all that I want, I desire and hope for, I find in Thee.